Week 5, Wednesday, Readings. Lord, open our lips, and we shall praise your name. Let us adore the Lord, for it is he who made us. Come, ring out our joy to the Lord, hail the God who saves us. Let us come before him giving thanks, with songs let us hail the Lord. A mighty God is the Lord, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his. To him belongs the sea, for he made it, and the dry land shaped by his hands. Come in, let us bow and bend low, let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we, the people who belong to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the desert, when your fathers put me to the test, when they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was wearied of these people, and I said, their hearts are astray, these people do not know my ways. Then I took an oath in my anger, never shall they enter my rest. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us adore the Lord, for it is he who made us. Bright as fire in darkness, sharper than a sword, lives throughout the ages God's eternal word. Father, Son, and Spirit, Trinity of might, compassed in your glory, give the world your light. I love you, Lord, my strength. Psalm 17. I love you, Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my saviour. My God is the rock where I take refuge, my shield, my mighty help, my stronghold. The Lord is worthy of all praise. When I call, I am saved from my foes. The waves of death rose about me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the snares of the grave entangled me, the traps of death confronted me. In my anguish I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, my cry came to his ears. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord saved me because he loved me. Psalm 17 continued. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the mountains were shaken to their base. They reeled at his terrible anger, smoke came forth from his nostrils, and scorching fire from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze by its heat. He lowered the heavens and came down, a black cloud under his feet. He came enthroned on the cherubim, he flew on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, the dark waters of the clouds his tent. A brightness shone out before him with hailstones and flashes of fire. The Lord thundered in the heavens, the Most High let his voice be heard. He shot his arrows, scattered the foe, flashed his lightnings and put them to flight. The bed of the ocean was revealed, the foundations of the world laid bare, at the thunder of your threat, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your anger. From on high he reached down and seized me, he drew me forth from the mighty waters, he snatched me from my powerful foe, from my enemies whose strength I could not match. They assailed me in the day of my misfortune, but the Lord was my support. He brought me forth into freedom. He saved me because he loved me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord saved me because he loved me. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God, who lightens my darkness. Psalm 17 continued. He rewarded me because I was just, repaid me, for my hands were clean, for I have kept the way of the Lord, and have not fallen away from my God. For his judgments are all before me, I have never neglected his commands, I have always been upright before him, I have kept myself from guilt. He repaid me because I was just, and my hands were clean in his eyes. You are loving with those who love you. You show yourself perfect with the perfect. With the sincere you show yourself sincere. With the cunning you outdo in cunning. For you save a humble people, but humble the eyes that are proud. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God, who lightens my darkness. With you I can break through any barrier. With my God I can scale any wall. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God, who lightens my darkness. All wondered at these gracious words. They marvelled at what the Lord was saying. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, let me take an argument from common life. A valid legal disposition, made by an ordinary human being, cannot afterwards be set aside. No one can make fresh provisions in it. The promises, you know of, were made to Abraham and his offspring. It does not, by the way, say to your descendants, as if it meant a number of people. It says to your offspring, in the singular, meaning Christ. And this is my contention. The law, coming into force 430 years afterwards, cannot unmake the disposition which God made so long ago, and cancel the promise. If our inheritance depends on observing the law, then it is not the inheritance secured to us by promise. That was promised to Abraham as a free gift. What, then, is the purpose of the law? It was brought in to make room for transgressions, while we waited for the coming of that posterity to whom the promise has been made. Its terms were dictated by angels acting through a spokesman. A spokesman represents more than one, and there is only one God. Is the law an infringement, then, of God's promises? This is not to be thought of. Doubtless, if a law has been given that was capable of imparting life to us, it would have been for the law to bring us justification. But in fact, Scripture represents us as all under the bondage of sin. It was faith in Jesus Christ that was to impart the promised blessing to all those who believe in him. Until faith came, we were all being kept in bondage to the law, waiting for the faith that was one day to be revealed. So that the law was our tutor, bringing us to Christ to find in faith our justification. When faith comes, then, we are no longer under the rule of a tutor. Through faith in Christ Jesus, you are all now God's sons. All you who have been baptized in Christ's name have put on the person of Christ. No more Jew or Gentile, no more slave or freeman, no more male and female. You are all one person in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are indeed Abraham's children. The promised inheritance is yours. Consider this. One who comes into his property while he is still a child has no more liberty than one of the servants, though all the estates are his. He is under the control of guardians and trustees until he reaches the age prescribed by his father. So it was with us. In those childish days of ours, we toiled away at the schoolroom tasks which the world gave us, till the appointed time came. Then God sent out his Son on a mission to us. He took birth from a woman, took birth as a subject of the law, so as to ransom those who were subject to the law, and make us sons by adoption. To prove that you are sons, God has sent out the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out in us, Abba, Father. No longer then are you a slave, you are a son. And because you are a son, you have, by divine appointment, the son's right of inheritance. Responsory from Galatians 3. All you who have been baptized in Christ's name have put on the person of Christ. There is no such thing as Jew and Greek, for you are all one person in Jesus Christ. A reading from the letters of St. Ambrose. The Apostle says that he who by the Spirit puts to death the deeds of the body will live. Small wonder that he should live, since he who has the Spirit of God becomes a son of God. Being a son of God means that he has not received the spirit of slavery, but the spirit of adopted sonship, so much so that the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are sons of God. And this is the witness of the Holy Spirit. He himself cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father, as Paul writes to the Galatians. Then there is that great witness to our being sons of God, the fact that we are heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. To be a fellow heir of Christ means to be glorified with him, but he will be glorified with him who by suffering for him suffers with him. In order to encourage us to suffer, Paul adds that everything we suffer is of no account and not worth comparing to the future good things, the immense reward for our labours that is to be revealed in us. For then we shall be reformed in the image of God and be graced to see his glory face to face. In praise of the greatness of this future revelation, he goes on to say that creation waits for this revelation of the sons of God, creation which is now subjected to futility, not of its own will, but in hope, because it takes hope in Christ through the ministry of Paul. Or else, because creation itself will be liberated from the slavery of corruption, to be taken up into the liberty of the sons of God, so that when their future glory is revealed, there will be but one liberty for both creation and the sons of God. But now, in truth, while that revelation is in daily expectation, the whole creation groans as it awaits the glory of our adoption and redemption, giving birth to that spirit of salvation, yearning to be freed from slavery to what is devoid of meaning. But the meaning is plain enough. They who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan in expectation of their adoption as sons. Now, that adoption is the redemption of the whole body. That will come about when he sees face to face, as an adopted son of God, the divine and eternal goodness. Even so is the adoption of sons in the church of the Lord, when the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, as you have it in Galatians. But that redemption will be perfected when all who are graced to see the face of God rise again in incorruptibility, honour and glory. Then, indeed, our human nature will judge that it is redeemed. That is why the Apostle makes his boast when he says, In this hope we are saved. Hope saves, as does faith, of which it is said, Your faith has saved you. Responsory from Romans 8. We are heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we share his sufferings so as to share his glory. Since we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from God's anger, provided we share his sufferings so as to share his glory. Let us pray. Guard your family, Lord, with constant, loving care, for in your divine grace we place our only hope. We make our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.